In our next segment, we hear from Victoria Rose Burke and Raquelmi Gonzalez, students in the Department of Latin American, Caribbean, and U.S. Latino Studies at SUNY Albany. They worked with their fellow students to produce radio pieces about race, class, and cultural identity that air every week right here on the Hudson Mohawk magazine.
I'm Gonzalez, and I'm here with
Victoria Rose Burke,
and we're coming to you from your favorite campus, UAlbany. So, Victoria, how do you identify?
I identify as a first-generation Jamaican-American. I'm also Trinidadian. My mother was born in Jamaica, and my father was born in Trinidad. First generation is it's the first child to be born outside of their nationality.
Interesting. Thank you for defining that for our viewers. Being in such a diverse school like Albany with so many clubs and orgs, are you involved in any cultural clubs or organizations?
Yes, I am, actually. I'm a part of JAMSA and Pan-Caribbean Association. JAMSA is the Jamaican American Student Association, and Pan-Caribbean involves all the islands and nations in the Caribbean.
Can you maybe give our audience a little insight about what you guys actually do?
Yes. JAMSA is mostly a support group, and they expose other parts of Jamaica that people don't understand. We also teach people about the music and the culture and stuff besides what you go and see typically when you visit Jamaica.
Okay, so you mentioned that you guys advocate, you know, like the parts of Jamaica that people aren't really aware of. When people typically mention Jamaica, they tend to only speak about resorts and attraction. It's as if they're oblivious to what goes on past their weekend at a resort. What do you think you can do to help people see more than just that?
I think that exposure comes like when people decide to reach out, because we can't force people to attend our events on campus and like really take in our culture and understand that it's not just the resorts, but there's backwoods and there's whole towns that are struggling in Jamaica.
Okay, I feel like it has a little bit to do with stereotyping, like, oh, well, that's just the island you go to vacation to, or more of a single story. So for the audience that doesn't know what a single story is, it's basically part of a story, but not the whole story. By definition, it leaves out a lot of information, and it kind of leapfrogs over a nuisance in detail. By any chance, have you ever watched The Danger of a Single Story by Adichie?
Yes, I have, actually. It was a very inspirational story where she talked about single stories in her country of Africa. In Africa, most people in America think that Africa is a very poor nation and it's filled with disease and poverty. And Adichie, in her story, she talked about how in her part of the nation, she saw an affluent town, and her part of Africa was nothing like the single stories that America had in their books when she came to study here.
Okay. Another thing is, when I did watch that video, something stuck out to me, and she said the single story creates stereotypes, and the problem with stereotypes is not that they are untrue, but that they're incomplete. They make one story become the only story. So do you feel like because of this single story that people tell, they'll ever, like, your organization ever be able to kind of break through to people and break through that barrier?
I think that it's possible to break that barrier, but it'd be with time. Jamaica, their single story being that most people think of it as a tourist attraction, Ochos Rios, a stop for your cruise line. But really there's more, and like once you go into Jamaica, you'll see the backwoods, the real beauty of Jamaica, but no one really sees it and understands it at the moment.
Okay, well, thank you for giving me that insight. And
no problem, Rachel. So now, how do you identify yourself?
I identify as Latina and Haitian, actually. Both of my parents are Dominican, but my grandfather is Haitian.
Oh, wow. Do any of your family members identify as or embrace Haitian culture, being that DR and Haiti share an island?
Unfortunately, no. We don't really embrace it, and I say we because I'm guilty of it as well, but I wasn't really exposed to that side of my family because my grandfather did die very when I was very, very, very young. So it's one of those things where my family kind of just omits, and because of DR and Haiti sharing an island, there's always been tension. It's not like we have the best relationship in the world.
Well, do you see Dominican and Haitian single-story adversities as affecting your personal identity?
I definitely do. Because I wasn't exposed to my Haitian side, I feel like I'm kind of lost when it comes to who I am and how I should identify. I feel like because I'm Haitian as well, and Dominican in general, I have African roots and I'm Afro-Caribbean. But it's unfortunate that my family just doesn't feel the same way.
Do you believe that those are results of those long-standing thought patterns from colonialism or coloniality in the Dominican Republic and Haiti?
It definitely is. It goes all the way back to when Trujillo was our dictator. He was not a fan of the Haitians. He was not a fan of anybody of dark color, actually. It got to the point where he believed in blacamiento, and he led a bunch of Jewish immigrants and European immigrants into our country to lighten our population. And if that's not coloniality in its truest form, then I don't know what is.
Wow. And do you think that because of Trujillo, lighter skin has successfully been normalized or made a part of culture in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, it definitely has in the Dominican Republic and here. In the Dominican Republic, it's more about where you come from. And if you're of lighter skin, if you're from the capital and you're of lighter skin, you're seen as a Dominican with class and a person that can walk into an office and probably get a job faster than someone from the country outskirts, which is where me and my family are from. Most of us, they just ended up being lighter than I am, but they still get treated differently compared to those who were raised in the capital and of light skin.
And do you think that here in America that relates to the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, it does, because even here, the people that are Dominican and that don't live in DR feel like, oh, well, at least we're not Haitian, or we're not Haitian. Even in my family, my parents have been here for longer than they've been in DR, and they still feel some type of way about Haitians.
So have you visited the Dominican Republic and experienced this treatment firsthand?
I definitely have. In Dominican Republic, because I live on the countryside, we're pretty close to Haitians, and they're more like our neighbors. And you definitely see like this behavior of, oh, we're better, even though we live in the same country, in the same side, in the same poor neighborhood, and that they just feel like they're better. And I definitely see it in like my younger cousins, that when they do see Haitians that they don't know, they throw rocks at them, they send the dogs to attack them, which is just ridiculous and racist and just not okay.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, thank you for sharing more about your culture with us, Rachel. I hope that people learn a lot from this interview.
Me too.
That was Victoria Rose Burke and Raquelmi Gonzalez of the University at Albany Department of Latin American, Caribbean, and U.S. Latino Studies. Stay tuned for more student productions about race, class, and cultural identity every week right here on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.